Good morning and a good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is by Basa Daf Ayin. We are holding on Daf Samach Tesam and Beis. We are at the bottom of Samach Tesam and Beis at Amar Rav. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha. Allah Shalom and Hashem Hashem Aliyah. I got to see Dr. Lander last night at Chasna. Baruch Hashem. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times in Atzlacha, for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And also by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishmas, Chanaleya Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayaleya Bas Naftali Herzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu, and Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and also by my uncle and aunt, Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, for the yard site of Jeanette's father, Meir Ben Yosef Pick, is Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and also by the virtual halacha program, Prepare for Yom Adin by mastering the halachas of Rosh Hashanah in a comprehensive course under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita. Visit vihalacha.com and use the coupon code DAFYOMI to get a 30% discount on the course. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to talk about which trees are included and which trees are excluded from a sale when you say the words chutz meha ilanos. So it can't exclude everything. So what is excluded and what is included? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, if you identify a single mature tree, meaning we had certain types of trees that are automatically excluded from the sale because there are such chashava trees that there, but you identify a single one of such a type of tree to be excluded, where it would have been excluded anyway. So what does that say about the rest of the trees? Are the rest of the trees now included? Or let's say the Gemara is going to have another discussion. You exclude half of such a tree. What does it say about the other half of such a tree? Again, that's talking about a case where the type of tree you're identifying to be excluded would have anyway been excluded because it's such a chash of a tree. So then the Gemara is going to talk, if someone claims to have returned a pikadon, but the problem is there's a shtar on that pikadon. So do we have a principle of shtar chabiyar chamay bayi that normally I believe you to say you returned the pikadon, but there's a shtar? So how come I still have the shtar if you really returned the pikadon? And that's going to lead us into a discussion on Amud Beis about collecting investment money from Yesomim. You gave an investment, you gave money to invest with the father died, and now you want the money back. So we're going to connect that discussion. There's going to be a discussion between Dayanei Gola and Dayanei Eretz Yisrael, two different groups of Dayanim, and we're going to connect that to the discussion of Mafkedei Tzel Chever B'Shtar, of the case of giving a Pikadon with a Shtar. So let's begin again. We are at Amar Rav. On the word Amar is the last word of the second to last line on Samach Tesam Beis. So we had said, we had already said that if a person sells a field, chutz mehi ilanos shaba, so the ilanos are not sold. So the Gemara say, well, which ilanos are not sold and which ilanos are sold? So Amar Rav, Rav says, if you sell a field with chutz mehi ilanos shaba, so you're leaving out some of the trees, kol sha'olun lo b'chevel, any tree that's tall enough that you need to use special climbing equipment in order to go up such a tree, that's an ilan, and that's havishi, or that's what you really are excluding from the sale, because that's a real chash of a tree, and you're only excluding the very chash of a trees from the sale. But kol sha'olun lo b'chevel, if a tree is so low that you're able to climb it without specialized climbing equipment, without having to use ropes to climb all the way to the top of the tree, then lo havishi, or then that is not considered to be a shiur, that is not considered to be that which you are leaving over, that is included in the sale. The Dayanei Gola Amri, but the Dayanei Gola say, Shmuel and Karna, the Rashbam says, are the Dayanei Gola, meaning they have names, we just refer to them as Dayanei Gola, but Rashbam says it's Shmuel and Karna. This is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin identifies a lot of the people that are referred to throughout Shas by certain titles, Dayanei Gola, and Husaba and things like that, that you have names that people have, titles that people have. So who are they? So Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin tells you. So the Rashbam references Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin and says, Dayanei Gola are Shmuel and Karna. The problem is, if we look at Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin, it says Karna. It does not say that Shmuel is Dayanei Gola. So the Yad Malachi writes that the Rashbam obviously had a different girsa in that Gemara in Sanhedrin. He wouldn't have made it up, right? He's referring you to Sanhedrin. So the Rashbam thinks it's Shmuel and Karna, but Dayanei Gola Amri, these Dayanei Gola say, If the tree is so soft that when the ox is walking by with its yoke, the tree bends back and does not prevent the ox from walking by as it's plowing the field, so the tree is not chashuv. Meaning, if it's still such a young tree and it's so soft that it bends when the ox with its equipment starts plowing around the tree, lo avishir, then that is not considered to be excluded from the sale, because that is not considered to be a chashva tree. But kol she'ein ol kovsho, but if the tree is so sturdy and so hard that it does not that it will prevent the ox from passing by, it does not just bend out of the way of the ox, havishir, that is already a chashuv enough tree that is considered to be left over, that is considered to be something that a person is keeping for himself, and that he's excluding from the sale when he says chutz me'ilanos. So says the Gemara, so we have two separate criteria over here of what is being excluded. We have Rav's criteria and the Dayane Gola's criteria. Says the Gemara, v'lo pligi, they're not really arguing with each other. It depends. Habedikli, Habi Ilane. When Rav was talking, he was talking about a dekel tree. So dekel trees are very, very tall. So if it's a dekel tree that's so tall that you need specialized equipment to climb all the way to the top, so that's going to be a very chashuv a dekel tree. But Eino Ol Kovsho isn't shaykh by the kolim, because even if it would bend, it would still be considered very chashuv if you need to use a rope to climb a dekel tree. Whereas the criteria that are mentioned by the Dayane Gola, that refers to regular trees in the field and we're trying to figure out which ones you're keeping for yourself. So Kol Shom Lo B'Chevel doesn't make sense, because those trees have lots and lots of branches all the way up, not like a palm tree which does not have lots of branches all the way up. So even if we're really tall, on other types of trees you'd be able to climb utilizing utilizing the branches that are all the way up the tree. So they're not really arguing at all. Period. That's the end of that discussion. So now the Gemara says, well, we had mentioned in the Mishnah that there are two types of trees that are so chashuv that we always assume that they're being excluded from a sale. They're considered to be independent enough because of their chashivus that when you're selling a field, you are not selling these trees. And that is a sadan ashikma and a charuv hamurkav, that those, they're not included in the sale of a field. So Gemara says, and what if you specifically say you're excluding them from the sale of a field? Does that change anything? So by mine revach barhuna me rav shesh. Let's say you had a lot of charuv hamurkav and sadone shikma in your field, and you say to the buyer, I'm selling you the field chutz mecharuv ploni, and you identify one charuv hamurkav, or you say chutz misadon ploni, you identify one particular sadon hashikma. So malus. And now what about all the other charuvim and sadonim that are in the field? If you would have said nothing, they all would have not been included in the mechira. But now when you identify one to not be included in the mechira, maybe what your chiddush was not about that one. Your chiddush was about everything else, was that you're saying that you are including all of the rest of them, even though they all would have been excluded. So, also charuv hu delokani, do we assume that you're dafka identifying this one because that's the only one that's not included in the sale? Hashar charuv mkani, but every other one is included in the sale. Odom hashar charuv nami lokani. Or maybe you could say that even though you didn't need to explicitly exclude this particular tree from the sale, but you're not trying to weaken your position in the transaction over here, that had you not said anything, all of them would have been excluded. Now you're trying to say, and I'm not including this one, so that's not going to mean that you're necessarily including others. So what do you mean to say then? Why would you identify this one? Are you just wasting words? You're just throwing something out there? So the Rashbam writes, no, maybe what you're trying to say is that with this particular tree, you also want to have a derech to the tree. When you say chutz min habor v'hagas, the Mishnah says on Daf Ayin Aleph, that since even without saying that, the bor and the gas are not included, so you're trying to be mishayir yourself a derech. So maybe all the sadana shikmas and all the charva morkovs, they're all excluded from the sale. But by identifying this one, maybe what you mean to say is, and this one is so chashuv to me that that I not only want to retain the tree, I want to retain the rights to a derech to get to that tree as well. So maybe that's what you mean. So that's the shaila. What does a person mean when he says chutz mi charav ploni, chutz mi sadon ploni? So Amr Lei, Rav Sheshes responded, lo kana. The lokeach does not acquire not that charav nor any of the other charav mamurkavim that are in the field. Meaning, since they all would have been excluded anyway, they all remain excluded from the sale. So the Gemara challenges Rav Sheshes, Eisvei, but we have a brisa that if you say chutz mi charav ploni, chutz mi sadon ploni, lo kana. My love, also charuv hu de lo kana, hashar charuvin kana, that the brisa says that if you identify a particular charuv, a particular sadhana shikma that are excluded, that it's only lo kana. Doesn't lo kana mean that you're not kona it, that you're not kona that one, but that the rest of them are yes included in the sale? So how can Rav Sheshes say that it means that you're not kona anything? So I'm relay. So Rav Sheshes would respond, lo, you're misunderstanding the brisa. The words lo kana don't mean that you're kona the rest. The words lo kana mean you're not kona, and you're not kona means you're not kona anything. The Rashbam writes that some have the girsa and the brisa of oso hacharuv lo kana, that and that was really the Gemara's kasha, right? That it says oso hacharuv lo kana, which is clearly implies that the rest of them yes kana. So that was the real inyan over here. That was the real raya over here. But the Rashbam says that it can't be a correct girsa, because then how could you possibly explain the brisa like the Gemara's teretz, that the rest of the charuvim are also not kona? The brisa means to say that the opposite, that the rest of the charuvim you're not kana. That's goof of the whole chiddush of the brisa. The Yad Ramah has this girsa of osa charuv lo kana, and he says according to the maskana of the sugya, the kavana of the brisa is that the value of the money of that charuv you're not kona. It refers to some assessment of figuring out monetary arrangements, but it's not a reference to what trees you are and are not kona, because you're in fact not kona any of the trees. But the Rashbam rejects this girsa for that reason, for good reason, that if it said osa charuv lo kona, then it really should have concluded that the rest of the trees you are kona. So that's Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes responded to Rav Acha Bar Huna's question: if you exclude from the sale a particular tree where the whole group of trees anyway would have been excluded, they all remain excluded from the sale. So Rav Sheshes says, and Teda, I'll prove that I'm correct about this, that you're not kona any of the charuvim. The ilu amarle, because if the mocher would say to the lokeach, sade mechur la chutz mi sade plonis, let's say he was selling a field and he said, I'm selling you this field except for, and I'm excluding the neighboring field, chutz mi sade plonis. I'm excluding the neighboring field. And I happen to own fields all over the place. I happen to own a lot of real estate in a lot of different places. So I'm selling you this particular field in this particular town, this particular location, and I say chutz from the neighboring field. Do you think that means that I'm being makna to you every piece of real estate I own everywhere else? Obviously not. Meaning I'm just saying chutz from the field that's next to it, meaning you don't also get the neighboring field, but obviously you don't get anything else either. Ella lo kana, it's pashut that you're not kona the rest of the sadels that this guy happens to own. Because just because you threw in a dvar shtus into your lashon, it doesn't mean that that we have to turn it into something meaningful. So it was silly to say chutz. Obviously, if I'm selling you this field, I'm not selling you the other field. So just because I happen to say chutz from some other field, so it doesn't say anything about the rest of the field. So achanami lo kana. So over here also, I threw in a dvar shtus. I said chutz mi charav ploni. I said except for this charav. I didn't need to say chutz mi charav ploni. It's excluded anyway. So it's just simply a dvar shtus. It's simply something silly that I'm adding in. So the Rashbam writes that the Rashbam is going to say, well, let's see the next piece first. V'ikadamri, there's another version of this discussion which goes as follows. The poimin Rav Acha Bar Huna Me Rav Sheshes, where what Rav Acha Bar Huna asked from Rav Sheshes is not where you said chutz mi charuv ploni or chutz mi sadana shikma, but rather it's by mine revach brovinim sheshes chutz me chatzi charuv ploni. That normally all the charuv amorkovs are excluded from the sale, and I say I'm excluding half of this particular tree, or chutz me chatzi sadan ploni. I say half of this sadan shikma, even though anyway normally all of the sadan shikmas are excluded. So mahu. So what's the din about the other half? So shar charuvin vade lo kari. In this version, it's taken for granted that obviously all the other trees that would normally be excluded are being excluded here as well, right? That's going to be obvious that all the other trees are still not part of the sale. Those are certainly being excluded because the Gemara assumes that if you're meshayir a charuv, it doesn't mean you're including the rest of the charuvim. But hamash hashir ba uso charuv. But the other half of this charuv, where you kept half of it for yourself, kona, maybe the other half, the lokeach is kona. Because by saying, I'm keeping half of this tree to myself, maybe you're being megaladas, that the other half you're actually selling to the guy, to the buyer, to the other guy. O dilma afilu mashashir, but also charuv nami lokani. Or maybe the guy's not kona anything. Even the other half, you only said you're keeping chatzi charuv, it doesn't mean that I'm giving you the other half. I'm just saying that this half is something that I'm for sure keeping for myself. So Amalei, lo kani. Rav Sheshes in this version says, even in that case, the guy is not kona anything. He's not even kona the other half of this tree. So Esvei, so we challenge Rav Sheshes from a braisa, chutz mechatzi charuv ploni, that if a guy says, sade mechurulach, except for chatzi charuv ploni, or he says, chutz mechatzi sadan ploni, or he leaves out chatzi of a sadan ashi, which again, anyway, all of these trees are left out of the sale. So shar charuvin lo kana. All the rest of the charuvin are not included in the sale. Ooh, all the rest of the charuvin. My love, shar charuvin lo kana, mashir ba'oso charuv kana. Doesn't that imply that only the rest of the charuvin are not included in the sale, but the other half of this charuv is yes included in the sale? Amalei lo, Sar of Shesha said, no, it does not mean to say that the other charuvin are not kona. Afilu mashashir ba'usu charuvin, that only the other charuvin are not kona. It means afilu mashashir ba'usu charuvin nami lo kona, that you're not kona anything, not even the other half of this tree. And says Rav Sheshes, and I'll bring you a raya, same basic format as the first version of this discussion, where the raya is, what if this were a field? Teida, I'll bring you a raya. Di'ilu amalei if a mocher says to a lokech, sadai mechur lecha chutz mechatzi sadaploni, I'm selling you a field except for half of a different field. So who delo kana, ha'idach kana, you think that means that I'm selling you a half of a different field as well? Ella lokani? No, certainly not. So chanami lokani, meaning I tell you, I'm selling you field A, but I'm not selling you half of field B. Well, the other half, field B, is not included in the sale either, because the sale wasn't about field B, it was about field A. And that's the way we view these very chashva trees. They are like an independent field, even though physically they may be located in this particular sada, but we view them as if they are a separate field. So therefore, they're excluded the same way a separate field would have been excluded. Why did you say chutz mechatzi, from chatzi, this tree, if the other half of the tree is also excluded from the sale? You can't even say the Vart Rashbam said that maybe he meant the derech to it, because it's the same tree. So why would you say it? It's a dvar shtus. You said something silly. You said something that doesn't mean anything, and we just don't read into it. That's what the Rashbam writes. You can't be mochiach from that which a mocher says to a lokeach, that so he must have meant something, and therefore he must be including something. No, people sometimes say extra words, and they sometimes say stupid things. They say things that are absolutely meaningless. So this was something that's absolutely meaningless. So the Mukhe Yosef over here writes, from this halacha we learn that you are not medayik in a person's words something that would work against him if he doesn't say it explicitly. We will very quickly say that it's just derech shtus that the person spoke without any without reading into it. And that's Darkei Moshe quotes this on the bottom of the Torah, and the Sma and the Seilech HaShemishpat quotes this as well, that we don't hesitate to say that when a person speaks, they speak Derech Shtus. In the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, he quotes a Sefer, Sharei Torah Chukei Mishpat, Rav Binyamin Wolf, something Lau, who writes that's only when a person is medaber beino lebein chavero. That this idea that a person is going to speak derech shtus and that an extra phrase that he throws in may just be silly, that's only when two people are speaking among each other. Over here it's a mocher speaking to a kona. That beino lebein atzmo, it's the derech to speak unnecessary things. But when a person is speaking up in Beis Din, then mistama, he's being medayik very carefully in what he's saying. We assume he's not saying an extra word. If he's speaking up in Beis Din, he's being very cautious in the way that he's phrasing things, and then we cannot make an assumption of Derech Shtus. And he brings a raya from what the Torah and the Mechaber write, that if a person is Moda B'fnei Beis Din, he can't taina Meshata Anibach. He can't say that I was messing around, I was just joking, because Mestama, a person is not Meshata B'Beis Din. A person doesn't mess around, doesn't joke around in Beis Din. And the Shach writes that Mestama, we don't say Meshata when you're Moda B'fnei Beis Din, unless there's some sort of hochacha that you were just joking around. Now, one could have distinguished that there's a difference between a guy saying that I was joking around versus a guy who wasn't joking. What he said was actually true. It's just not being medayik in his words. Meaning, when I say chutz mi sadan ploni, so sadan ploni is not included in the sale. The question is about the stuff I didn't mention. So, do we make diyukim in a person's words? One could have certainly made such a distinction. But anyway, that distinction is not made. So now we move on to the next sugya. Rav Amram me Rav Chista. Rav Amram asks the following shayla from Rav Chista. Hamavke yitzel chaver b'shtar. A person gives a pikadon to somebody else. He gives him money and he writes a shtar and they have Edim sign on the shtar that I gave you this money to watch. Va'amr lo, and when the mafkid comes to be tovea, that money, the nifkat said, what are you talking about? Hilchzartimach, I already gave you back the money. So mahu. So when the mafkid has a shtar in hand, is the nifkat neman to say he's already paid it back? Mi amin amigu di bayamar nensu mehemin, sasha nami mehemin. Should we say, since if the nifkat wanted, he could have said that there was an onus that happened to the money, and he'd be believed with such a taina, because the shtar, the shtar that the mafkid has is not a contradiction to that, right? Meaning I'm agreeing I didn't give it back, but there was notice and I'm putter from Onsim. So now that I said I gave it back, I should be Neman as well, and we don't have to worry that maybe I'm lying when I said Ichzarti, because if I was a real liar and I wanted to get away with it, I could have just said Nansu. So Malul Shaker, Odilma, or maybe no, the Mafkin could say back to him, I got a star that says that you have my Pikadon. What do you mean you gave it back? So we're not going to trust your Migo, because it's a Migo negate, it's a Migo b'makom Edim, meaning a star is considered to be Edim. It's Edus b'chsav that you still have my Pikadon. So your Migo is not going to work against my Edim. Tosus points out that even if you hold like the Shita in the second paragraph of Ksubas, that Moda b'shtar shakasv tzarech l'kaimo, that even if the Lova is Moda, that the star is Emes, and that it's not Mezuyev, he's still going to be Neman, that it's Parua with a Migo that he could have tainted that it's Mezuyev. So you could still hold over here that the Nifkat is not Neman to taina that he paid it back, but Migo Denansu. Because there's a difference between a Halva and a Pikadon. Because by a loan, the Lova has to give the Sofer the payment for writing the Shtar. And sometimes the Lova doesn't have any money to give to the Sofer, and the Malva gives the money. And he'll keep the shtar until the lova pays for what he was supposed to pay for in the first place, which was the cost of the sofer writing the shtar. So therefore, he's going to be believed to say that it's parua. But because, meaning there's a good explanation why the malva still has the shtar, because the malva's holding on to it until he gets paid back for having laid out the money for the writing of the shtar. But by a pikadon, where the nifka doesn't have to give any money to the sofer, so then that whole reason doesn't apply. And therefore, the Gemara has a suffix that maybe he shouldn't be believed. So even if you hold that by a malva lova kind of situation, he would be believed. When it comes to a pikadon situation, the Gemara is still raising it as a shayla, then maybe he's not believed. So what's the halacha? I have a guy, Reuven gives Shimon money as a pikadon to watch for him, and he has a shtar that says that he gave that money as a pikadon. Reuven comes and asks for the money, and Shimon says, I already gave it back to you, but Reuven still got the shtar. Do we believe Shimon? So Amar Lei, so Rav Chista responds, Mehemin, yes, we believe Shimon. He's got a migo. Migo that he could have said it was nanas. But what about the taino? Then why do I still have your shtar? Amar Lei, so Rav Chista responds, according to you, that you want to say that because of the taina of Sharchu B'yadamai Ba'i, the Nifkat shouldn't be Neman, the Chiyamar Lei Nansu, Miyatzi Amar Lei Sharchu B'yadamai Ba'i, if the guy would have tied it, if the Nifkat would have tied it that it was known as, could the Mafkid say Sharchu B'yadamai Ba'i? Obviously not. The Nifkat would be Neman. So when he says Ichsarti, he's also Neman. That's the way Migo works. Migo means that whatever I would have been believed to say with the other taina, I'm believed to say with this taina, and you can't counter with Sharchu B'yadamai Ba'i. So Amar Lei, Rav Amram said back, yeah, but sof, why would you be believed with the Migo? Ki Amar Lei Nansu, lav shvua bai. Even if you would have tied a Nansu, you still would have had to take a shvua to be putter, meaning even if you're a shomer and you say that there was an ones, it's true you're putter at onsim, but not you're not scot-free, you got to take a shvua. Torah says, shvua sashem tia bein shneim, im lo shalach yadobim lech srei eyu. So even when you say yichzarti, you should not, we shouldn't believe you unless you take a shvua. But you, Rav Chista, just said Neman, that he's the guy's believed. Makes sound like he's believed even without having to take a Shavua. So Rav Chista says, Hachinami, my Neman. What do you think I meant? Neman b'Shavua. Neman means that you have to take a Shavua, meaning you're obviously no more Neman than you would have been had you said that Nansu, which is the Tainus Amigo. So, okay, you have the same level of Nemanus, and therefore you have to take a Shavua. Tosos in Dibra Maschel Sof points out that according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosos in a number of places in Shas, that you don't say that you chayev shvua midoraisa unless you're moda b'miksas hataina, that on a portion of the tviya you're moda that you're chayev, and on a portion you're tainying nanas. Only then is there a chayev shvua midoraisa. So you have to say that which the Gemara says, well, wait a second, when you taina nanas, don't you have to take a shvua? Rabbeinu Tam would say, no, you don't have to take a shvua midoraisa when you taina nanas, unless you were also moda b'miksas, that there's always got to be a hoda b'miksas. So why is the Gemara assuming that it's pashut that you would have to take a shvua? It must be that it's a shvua midrabanan, that when the Gemara takes it for granted that you're going to have to take a shvua, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that cannot be a shvua midaraisa. That's got to be a shvua midrabanan. Now, another thing you see in this Gemara, that only because of the namanus of the taina of Ichzarti, the namanus of the taina of Ichzarti is only because of the migo that he could have said nanas, and that's why he's chayiv shvua on the taina of Ichzarti. Since the whole ne'amonos of the taina of Ichzarti was based on the migo of nanas, so and nanas would have required a shvua, therefore Ichzarti requires a shvua. But if you would have been ne'aman on the taina of Ichzarti without a migo, then we never would have required a shvua. The only reason we require a shvua is because we're linking this taina of Ichzarti to the taina of nanas, where you do need a shvua. So the Magen Mishnah explains in Hilchos Schirus Perek Beis that the chiyuv of shvuas hashomrim min haTorah is only with the taina of Nansu, that the mafkid should not would have no reason to know about that. Meaning the mafkid gave you this pikadon, you know if it was nanas or not. The mafkid has no idea, but if a taina that the mafkid would have known about, just as much as the nifkad would have known about, like the taina of Ichzarti, whether he gave, if in fact he gave it back, both parties would be fully aware of that, so that really shouldn't have a shavua. So that's why the Gemara has to go through this exercise, that, oh, you know why he has to take a shavua? Because he's only neman with amigo, then he could have said nanas. And had he said nanas, he would have taken a shavua. And therefore he takes a shavua for this taina as well. But it sounds like if I was willing to believe Ichzarti, we never would have had him take a shavua. Why would I never have him take a shavua? Because Ichzarti is the kind of taina that both parties are already aware, whether it's true or not true. Nanas is not the kind of thing that both parties are already aware. Only the Shomer is aware whether it was true or not true. So says Gemara, Lema b'plukta dani tanai. Maybe this din of Rav Chista, that the Nifkar is neman to say that he gave it back, even though there's a shtar against him, is totally in a machlokas tanayim, as we're about to quote. Ditanya, we have a brisa. Now this is a little bit strange that we call this machlokas tanayim ditanya. We're about to quote a machlokas between the Dayane Gola and the Dayane Eretz Yisrael. We already discussed who are these people. The Dayane Gola, Shmuel and Karna, right? Those are not Tanoim. Those are Amoraim. So how can you say it's a Lema Ketanoi, Ditanya? So the Rashash writes that it must be that you shouldn't be Goris Tahani Tanoi, Ditanya. The Girsa should be Lema Beplukta. That should be it. That it's Lema Beplukta. And that's the Girsa that Tosos quotes in Ksubas Tafsadi Beis, that's all. It's Lema Beplukta. That not Beplukta Tahani Tanoi. It's just there is another Machlokas. Okay, here's the other Machlokas, which is in fact a machlokas amoraim. Shtar kis hayotze el yisomim. A guy comes and has a shtar that says that the father of these yisomim was given money, that I gave this guy money for him to start a business, and I invested with him. I'm supposed to get half of the profits of that whatever that money produces. And I want the money back. I want the money that I gave back to your father. And the yisomim don't know if the father gave back the money or not. So Shmuel and Karna were the Dayane Gola Amri, the Dayane Gola said that Nishba Vigove, that the Balashtar has to swear that the father never returned the money, Vigove Kulo, and he could therefore collect all the money that it says in that Shtar. Vidayane Eretz Yisrael Amri, but the Dayane Eretz Yisrael said Nishba Vigove Mechza, that the Balashtar has to swear that the father didn't return any of the money, and even then he can only collect half of the money from the Yisomim. But not all of the money from the Yisomim. The Tosfos points out, wait, he's going to swear that you owe me $1,000 and then collect $500. Tosfos points out, according to the Dayane Eretz Yisrael, you can't swear on the entire amount that it says in the shtar if you're not going to then collect the entire amount that it says in the shtar, because then you're being nishpa b'chinam. You're swearing something totally extra that you know you're not going to collect anyway. So you have to take a shavua that they owe you money, and it's no less than $500. It's no less than chatzi. You don't have to say that it's only $500 because you hold that it's really $1,000. But you could say that it's no less than chatzi. Where do we have such a thing? Shnei mochsin betalis. That's at the very beginning of Maseches Bava Metzia, that you don't swear kula shali. Zeh yishava shein lo b'pachus michatzia. V'zeh yishava shein lo b'pachus michatzia. So that's what Tosa says. Now one could have distinguished, the Achronim point out, that by shnei mochsin, they're both taking a shavua. So that was the problem with each one taking a shavua, that it's kula shali. Because if they're both taking, if both parties are taking a shavua, that it's kula shali, then we know that that there's a shvua that is a lie that we're demanding of people. That would be terrible. And that's why they say, Eini b'pachos mechetzia. Over here, wouldn't it be so terrible? Over here, one guy saying, your father owed me $1,000, I want $1,000, and we give him $500. Doesn't mean that his swearing of $1,000 was a lie. No one is saying otherwise. No one is swearing otherwise. So one could have easily distinguished. But anyway, that's what Tosa says, that he can't, we wouldn't even impose upon him a shavua about $1,000 when we know he's only going to collect $500. So that's what the Dayane Eretz Yisrael say, that they collect mechza. So the Kuli Alma, all the parties involved, the Dayane Gola and the Dayane Eretz Yisrael, all islu de Nardoi. They all hold of what it says in Nardoi. Dami Nardoi, that the Nardoi said, Hai iska, if a person gives money as an investment to somebody else in order to share the profits, the way we view it is palga milva palga bikadon. We view, if I gave $1,000 to invest with you, we view it as $500 is a loan, and the other $500 is a pikadon. And for a pikadon, you're not chayiv an onsim. For a loan, you're chayiv an onsim. Right? If I lend you $500 and then you and then something happens that's totally beyond your control and $500 gets lost, you still owe me back the money. For a pikadon, not. If I ask you to watch the $500 and then an onus happens, you're potter. So everyone is moda that the half of the money that's a milva, that of course, yeah, the yisomim are going to have to pay back with a shavua. The whole machlokas is about the palga that's a pikadon. Ooh, so what are they arguing about? They're arguing about $500 pikadon that I gave to your father, and I have a shtar that says that I gave it to your father. So So could your father have been believed to say that he gave it back to me already? So my lab balkamifni, that's exactly the machlokas. Demar sever the Dayane Gola hold that the father would not have been neman to taina that he had given it back and get off the hook with such a taina, even though he has a migo that he could have said nansu, because matzi amarle shtarcha biyadi my bayi, because the other guy could the investor can say, well, why then do I have your shtar? So therefore, the Yisomim also can't make such a taina. They can't say our father gave back the half that was a pikadon. Umar suffer, but the Dayani Eretz Yisrael must hold that the nosin cannot taina shtarcha biyadi my bayi, because the father had a migo that he could have said nansu and he could have been pater. So since the father would have been neman to say that he gave back the pikadon, so we'll make that same taina on behalf of the yisomim that the father gave back the pikadon, and therefore you can't collect the half that is a pikadon. So the Dayani Gola disagree with Rav Chista and hold that you're not neman with a migo to say that ichzarti migo that I could have said nansa, and the Dayan Eretz Yisrael hold exactly like Rav Chista. So that's the Gemara's point, that you see that Rav Chista is really subject to machlokas tanaim, to machlokas Dayan Egol and Dayan Eretz Yisrael. This is machlokas amarayim, because the case of the Dayan Egol and Dayan Eretz Yisrael turns out to be about a pikadon with a shtar, and can the person who had received the pikadon be believed to say, I already gave it back when the other guy's got a shtar, when the mafkid has a shtar in hand? So you see, it's exactly the machlokas. So Amri, so they said, no, that is not the machlokas. Lo, the Dayan Egol and Dayan Eretz Yisrael are not arguing about that. Dukuli Amri is the Rav Chista. Both the Dayan Egol and Dayan Eretz Yisrael agree to what Rav Chista says, that the nifkad is neman to say, I gave it back, migo that he could have said it was nanas. You're not dealing with the nifkad over here. If the nifkad were still alive, everyone would agree. He'd be neman to say, I already paid it back. Over here, the Nidon is about the Yisomim, and they're arguing as follows. Demar suffer the Dayane Gola hold that you could collect the half that's Pikodon as well, and the Yisomim cannot get themselves, potter themselves, by saying our father returned it, because in Misa de Pare, if it were true that the father had already given back the Pikodon during his lifetime, well, Meimar Hava Omar, he would have said something at the time that he was dying that he had already given it back, and he didn't. So from the fact that the shtar is the Toveya still has the shtar, we're not going to make a taina on behalf of the Yisomim that dad must have given it back. If he would have given it back, he would have told you. Now, the case over here is that the Yisomim didn't claim that dad told us he gave it back. The Yisomim are just silent. They're like, what do we know? It's about dad's stuff. We don't know anything. So the whole shaila is, will Beis Din claim on their behalf that the father already gave it back? So that's where you have a reis on such a claim. What do you mean? If the father would have given it back, he would have told you. It sounds like if the Yisomim were to actually come and say, our father told us he gave it back, then in a chinami the bineman, because everyone accepts Rav Chista, that the guy himself would have been believed to say he gave it back, so the Yisomim can say, he told us he gave it back. Whereas Mar Sava, the Dayan Eretz Yisrael hold, that the fact that the father didn't tell them something, b'shas misaso, is not a riot to anything. Not everybody before they die knows that they're about to die. Emor Malach HaMavus Hu Da'anse, maybe it wasn't scheduled, like he did not look at his calendar that morning and say, okay, death is scheduled for 11, so 10:30 I have to have that call with my kids where I tell them that I gave back the pikadon. Maybe he just got hit by a truck as he was crossing the street. It wasn't part of his schedule. The Malach HaMavus took him before he was able to talk to his children about it. So the Gemara now brings two dinim that Rav Huna Bar Avin says that are l'chora sosar one another. And the Gemara is miyashiv this stira based on what we just said. Meaning, just like we tried to connect the Machlokas Dayan Egol and Dayan Eretz Yisrael to Rav Chista's comment about having a pikadon with a shtar, so the Gemara is going to try to make a similar connection and make the same chiluk we just made. So Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin. Rav Huna Bar Avin sent the following two dinim. Din number one: Hamafkid Itzchol B'Shavram Lo Gzar Tivlach Neman. What Rav Chista said, right? That if I give you a pikadon with a shtar, and then I say I want the pikadon back, and you say I already gave it back, you believe that you already gave it back. Amigo, you could have said it was nanas, you believe that you already gave it back. That is din number one. Din number two. If I say that I invested money with your father, and I have a shtar to it that says I invested money with your father, and now I want the money back, so nishba v'gove kulo. I could swear and collect all of the money, not only the half that's considered a milva, but even the half that's considered a pikadon, and I can collect the half that's considered a pikadon because I have a shtar. So tarti, how could both of those things be true? That is a stira from one halacha to the other. Because if the guy who took the pikadon is neman to say echzarti, so his yisom should be neman to say, we should be able to say that our father gave it back. How come they can't say that? So the answer is shayni hasam dim isa depare meimer hava amar. We make that same chiluk that when it comes to the yisomim, if the father in fact gave it back, he would have said something, and they are not claiming that he said anything. So if they're not claiming that the father said anything, so then we assume he did not give it back. Rava amar hilchasa. The halacha is like the Dayani Eretz Yisrael in the Shtar Kis case, that Nishba v'gove mechza, the mafkid swears and he collects only half. He does not collect the half that's pikadon. Amar Marzutra hilchasa k'dayani gola. So after Rava says that, Marzutra says the halacha is like the Dayani gola. So Amar Ravina Marzutra v'amar Rava Nishba v'gove mechza. What do you mean the halacha is like the Dayani gola? Rava just said the halacha is gove mechza. That's like the Dayani Eretz Yisrael. Amlei anan d'dayane gola ibcha masninan la. Yeah, I learned the machlokas d'dayane gola and d'dayane Eretz Yisrael with the shitos reverse. So when I say the halacha is like d'dayane gola, I mean what you mean when you say the halacha is like d'dayane Eretz Yisrael. So from tomorrow, we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Aleph and Aleph. Have a great day. A good luchedish, everybody.